shooting out sparks over 38 states, the Canadian plains, and the tequila fields of Mexico.
A program most deserving of a grand introduction.
The Nocturnal Journal.
The talk of the town. WGN Radio 720.
With your guide, Dave Hoekstra.
Bedtime turns me off and I don't need maybe. 9 to 5 ain't it taking me where I'm bound. When it's gone, I run out to see my baby.
Welcome to the Nocturnal Journal on a Saturday night here in Chicago. And got a good show for you. In the next hour, we've got live music in the studio from Christine Melody. And we're going to have some students from Schurz High School on the Northwest Side talking about media perception. And in the studio right now are our friends, our good friends, Tony Fitzpatrick.
Hey, buddy.
Thanks for joining us. It's been a while. You haven't been with us in the new place here.
I haven't been here yet.
Not with us. Were you on with Kogan in the new place or the old place?
Yeah, I've been here with Kogan. Yeah.
Okay. And artists.
You're neglecting me.
Yeah.
I haven't been here. You guys have been here, what, 6 months?
Yeah.
What am I on? A milk carton? Come on.
And artist who I met at the studio, Yulia Kuznetsova.
Yes, correct.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
For the first time.
And this show is completely unrehearsed. So.
Yeah.
And attorney Fiona McEntee.
McEntee.
Okay, like I said, it's unrehearsed.
So, you get the Irish, you get their name wrong. Believe me, you're going to be in for a fight.
So, Yulia, I met you at Tony's studio.
Yes, yes.
So tell the listeners, you're an artist.
Yep. Correct.
And how you landed at the studio there. On North. Would you call that Humboldt Park or Bucktown?
It's East Wicker Park.
East Wicker Park.
Or West Wicker Park, I think.
So tell me about your journey, how you landed there.
Yeah, it takes place from SASC, the School of the Art Institute, where I graduated from with bachelor degrees in fine arts. And I had a teacher, Mary Lou Zelazny, which is an incredible, absolutely
great artist
and human being. And she's a good friend of Tony as well. And one day I came up to her and said, Mary Lou, what can I do? I need a place after I graduate, somewhere to stay and work, and you know, to be an artist, to pursue my art career as well. And she said she knows Tony, and you know, he helps emerging artists. He hires them and gives them opportunities to become artists and to live and work as artists as well. And I came to the studio. You know, after I graduated already, to meet Tony and.
About when was it?
It was about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
2.5 years ago now.
Two and a half. Yeah. Yeah. That's how we met the first time, and Tony hired me.
It's weird because I didn't want to hire another student. I mean, I had three And I thought, you know, I'm paying enough people, you know, it's like, and she kept showing up, and I said, all right, you know, look, kid, let me see your work. And then I looked at her work, and I thought, whoa, I've had incredibly gifted kids come through my studio, and she was without a doubt, head and shoulders, the best who ever worked with me, and, sure enough, I hired her, and 2 months later, she makes everybody else obsolete. You know, she outworked everyone and hung in there like a champ. And I just thought, you know, this is one of those kids who you're going to remember, you know, 300 years from now, you know.
You're from the suburbs of Moscow, right?
Yes, correct.
And what brought you, why did you want to come to America?
It was my long-time parents' dream to visit, to come to America, and you know, and be a part of it somehow. Especially my father, he was a big believer that it's a country of where dreams come true, and I may be the one who can help bring him closer to that dream. And, you know, they sold the flats to have enough funds to pay my tuition and sponsor my living here while I was.
She got a full ride, a scholarship, but still there had to be money to support her to live here.
Yeah.
While she was in school for 5 years, and her parents sold their apartment.
What do your parents do back home?
My dad works at an alcohol factory. He
popular thing in Russia.
That's why he's the only one who works in a family and supports everybody. He has enough income to support the whole family. It's just a normal thing when it's only the father, the patriarch of the family who works, and women just do the housework and raise kids. It's how my family is.
What were your visions when you were growing up? What were your perceptions? What were your visions of America? And how did that jibe once you got here?
It was nurtured by my dad with romanticism and an absolute dream country.
And rock and roll. And he loved metal, you know. Yeah. He just absolutely loved metal.
I was into it a lot, yeah.
Did you like Lemmy, or is that Motorhead?
Motorhead goes well.
You know, the Queen, you know, before Lemmy died, the Queen should have knighted him.
Yeah.
You know, another element is that Yulia's parents live in Putin's Russia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is a corrupt cesspool that offers very little in the way of any kind of opportunity for young women. If you're a young woman in Moscow, you're an exile.
Yeah.
You know?
We got to take a break for some spots. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about the visa procedure, where that stands. And we're going to talk to your friend Ira Williams on the phone. And you did some work with him down at his place. So don't go away on Nocturnal Journal on WGN. What I feel, I can't say. My love is love you anytime. That's all love that you need. And I'll try my best. Welcome back. It's Nocturnal Journal on WGN. Boy, there's so much to talk about. I want to talk to Fiona. Fiona McEntee?
Hi. Yeah.
McEntee.
Yes. My
personal hero.
Yeah. So real quick, and then we got a phone call here, but talk about your role and what is the O-1B visa, and where does this stand, and how you've navigated this?
So I first met Yulia and Tony, actually, together. They came into my office to kind of have a consultation to go over Yulia's situation and see, you know, she was on a student visa, and to see what options there would be for her post kind of graduation and thereafter. So we kind of went through, it's normally like a process of elimination in terms of visa options figuring out, but I mean, sometimes it's pretty clear that there's one option for people, and for Yulia, the O-1, which is for people who have extraordinary ability in various fields, okay, including art. So the standard's really high.
I had seen her on television after the travel ban that...
Fiona.
Yeah, I'd seen Fiona McEntee. She was one of the first lawyers out at O'Hare the night Tangerine Mussolini decided to initiate that travel ban, that incredibly bigoted, xenophobic, racist travel ban. Uh-huh. And her and a bunch of other lawyers from the ACLU went to the Supreme Court, and 13 hours later had it turned over. And I saw her on television talking. And I said, that's the immigration lawyer we need. That's the one. Yulia had been turned down for an extension on her visa. And when was that?
When were you turned down?
It was about a year ago.
Yeah.
We're waiting for it.
And we had kind of extraordinary evidence that she'd achieved a great deal. And so my friend Coley Newell... told me, it was, well, you need Fiona McEntee. She's like a really beautiful pit bull, you know.
Oh my God, I've never heard that. I'll take it.
She's going to go after these bastards and bite onto them and never let go. And so we went and saw Fiona and her brother, and they're part of that whole Fort Knox thing up there. And just amazing what they do for people who want to be Americans and deserve to be Americans.
Fiona, in this climate, how long have you been doing this?
Nearly 12 years.
So in this climate, how hard is it to do what you do in the world we're living in right now?
Oh, God. I mean, sorry for the big, huge sigh, but yeah. I mean, I think it's exhausting. It's exhausting because every single person who comes into our office has the most amount of anxiety and nerves. And these are, you know, across the board, hardworking immigrants that, you know, the country was founded, obviously, on immigrants. And despite, we know that...
We are an immigrant people.
Yeah, absolutely.
We, the people, are an immigrant people.
So, you know, I just got back from D.C. last week. I was there to lobby on Capitol Hill with a group of immigration lawyers to kind of share our client stories, and with, you know, Senator Durbin, Senator Duckworth, and lots of different, you know, just from Illinois congressmen and women here. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard because we know that the people that we're fighting for, like Tony said, you know, should be in this country. And it's across the board, you know.
You know, there's another case to be made that in many, many instances, the people who are applying for citizenship or for asylum, very often it's us, Americans, we the people, that are the authors of why they are no longer have a country or a home.
Yulia, what's your status now?
I'm on O-1 visa, which is for 3 years and can be also extended for another 3 years.
We're working towards a green card and citizenship.
We're now gathering documentation and evidence to apply for green card.
Fiona was just saying people are nervous and about all this right now. Are you nervous?
To be honest, I was extremely nervous before getting my visa extension. I didn't know what awaits me, what would how it is going to turn down and, you know, be for me. And I had no option of coming back as well. I felt like it's just not going to happen.
You've made an effort to get... We've got Ira on the phone. Is Ira on the phone? Hi, Ira. You made an effort to get involved in the community, so I wanted to bring Ira Williams. Ira, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for joining us tonight. From the Renaissance Collaborative, can you briefly talk about what the Collaborative does and then how you hooked up with Yulia?
Yes, the Renaissance Collaborative provides permanent housing for chronically homeless individuals, which is a major need, because if you're homeless, the one thing you really need is a home. And we, in fact, provide that with about 110 units in the old Bronzeville YMCA.
A historical building.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
So then, how'd you find them? How'd you connect? You gave some art to them, or talk about how you connected with them?
Ira came down our studio one day.
Ira came to the studio.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
And
one of our artists had recommended me to Yulia. He said, you should check her out. She has some very unique styles. I did some research, saw that she was working with Tony, and I called and made an appointment. And that was almost about a year ago, and sat down with her probably for an hour, hour and a half. Had a very, very good first meeting, and at that time I extended to her the invitation to participate. And basically what we do, we ask artists that are willing to donate part of the proceeds, one of their artworks, towards the programs of TRC to help the homeless. And last year we had about 6 artists. And Yulia was the youngest. And the thing that excited me about her work, she really connected with young people. We had a youth art contest also that's sponsored by Blick Art. Universally, all the young people were gravitating towards her art. Matter of fact, we made a deal with her to extend her art to do some posters and cliches, as opposed, in addition to the original framework that she donated to us, part of the proceeds. And we're looking forward to doing even more things in the future.
What a great story. Wow.
Yeah, Ira, make sure you come and see us for next year's event as well, sir.
Oh, I'll definitely do that. Is that Tony?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
That's Tony.
Oh, how are you?
Yes, Tony. I thought I recognized your voice.
Let me do it. We got to take a break for the news a little bit, but I want to talk about your art. I mean, what it looks like. Describe it. I've seen it. I mean, the first thing I saw, I'm not an art critic, but the colors. I mean, you do so much with colors and figures and light and stuff. Tell the listeners what your art looks like and how Ira and Tony respond to that.
In heart, my subjects and ideas are pretty grim, to be, you know, uh-huh, to be honest, to be frank. And it's what the most problematic subjects I encounter or live myself and see around myself. Or, you know, bring back from my past, I don't know, something like that. And I turn it into art. And the reason I use all these colors is to rebel against.
So like a contrast.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
The dying of the light. I always look at her work and I think this is kind of a reality for a lot of women around the world. I mean, not just in Moscow or America or... but worldwide, women face this kind of subjugation and this kind of ferocious sexism and, you know, being objectified. And her works really kind of opened my eyes, really made me think. You know, I have a daughter, and it will you see one of Yulia's pieces, believe me, you know what you're looking at.
Yeah. Ira, can you hang? We got to take a break for the news. Can you hang on a little bit? I want to talk a little bit. I have a couple more questions for you.
Yes, I can.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break for David Jennings in the news, and we'll be back after this on WGN.
I paid 300 years or more of slave driving sweat and welts on my back. This is my.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN, and we're in the studio with artist, author, raconteur, I haven't said that in a while, Tony Fitzpatrick, and artist Yulia Kuznetsova.
Yes,
Kuznetsova.
And
after the show, we go kill moose and squirrel.
On the phone, we have also from the Renaissance Collaborative, Ira Williams, and also in the studio, immigration lawyer Fiona McKente.
McEntee.
Yeah.
You can tell you're not Irish.
That's a lot for me to go through there.
You can tell you're not Irish.
One out of three. So talk about your aspirations, Yulia. Where do you want to go with this?
Well, with the Renaissance Collaborative. I would love to continue participating in it as much as I can. If my work does any good in the world at all, that's what matters, I think. That's what I'm here for. If I can help one person with it, good. You know, if it makes other people feel better, I'm down to it.
Ira, you want to respond to that? And then Tony?
Well, we definitely are looking for a long-term relationship with Yulia. Everything she's done so far has been very, very impressive. She came to our art event that we had at the new Sophie Hotel in Hyde Park in December. And everyone who met her was very, very impressed with her and impressed with her art. And the thing about the art that she had donated was it was entitled Serial Number. And the thing about Serial Number, it really ties into the Me Too moment. And a lot of the young ladies there who talked to Yulia expressed that particular thought that at a time of U2, her depiction of U2,
Me Too.
Yeah.
with through her
very
art,
empowering
serial number. Very empowering.
Tony, what were your dreams when I met you back at the Ovaltine factory? And now, it's timely, you just had one or two pieces at the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York.
30. Yeah. The show just opened. It's called Play It Loud, and it's about art and rock and roll. And
so how many?
I called Steve Earle, but I said, hey, can I borrow a couple of the album cover pieces? So Guy and Towns.
I know
Towns,
Guy was there. Yeah,
and
Guy,
Towns, yeah. Uh-huh. You know. And he goes, yeah, okay. You know, so it opened last Friday night, and it was kind of one of the best nights of my life. You know, I mean, the Met, you know. So I'm going back there Friday because I'm in a film that's in the Tribeca Film Festival, but I'm bringing some more work to the Met because they're getting more things. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's edifying. I mean, I'm 60 years old, and, you know, I'm glad this is happening while Yulia is still with the studio. Because, believe me, I mean, every bit of this will happen for her, you know. I mean, I think part of being able to do this is being able to see yourself in it.
Uh-huh.
And I think she's there. And she also, you know, realizes her larger place in the community, in her new country. You know, she goes out of her way to work with not just, you know, the project that I was involved in, but, you know, we have two galleries that, and she works with all of the new artists who are unnerved and who have not had a show before. And she's one of those. She makes it as much about the community around her is herself.
Yulia, how long have you been here overall?
5 years.
5 years.
Mm-hmm.
What have been some of the most important things you've learned about living here, both personally and artistically?
In the art school, I've learned some technical skills for sure, how to implement my art knowledge, basically. And the most things I've learned is when I have graduated, that it's how to be a better human being.
Not to put ketchup on a hot dog.
Yeah.
and Yulia, where do you get the best Italian beef in Chicago?
Elche.
No. Johnny's, but you know, okay.
Yeah.
We're still working on that. I can't eat them anymore, so I make her eat them, you know.
So, can listeners see your work? Is there a website? I know you're the show in Austin that's up now for all our listeners in Austin, Texas.
Yes, it's at Yard Dog. Yeah, gallery. It's going on, and I'm part of a group show. Along with Tony, Nate Otta, Vera Bassell, and other marvelous artists there.
Okay, your website address.
Yeah, it's www.ykuzne.wordpress.com.
And we'll put that on the podcast that'll come out this week, too. So,
yeah.
Do you want to spell that?
Kuzne?
K?
It's after www. It's ykuzne .wordpress.com.
Okay. All right. I want to ask, we don't have much time left, but I'm going to ask Fiona, what was your immigration process like? When did you come here? It's kind of mirroring the questions I began the segment with. But
yeah.
With her.
So I actually also came here as an international student. I first came here as an exchange student through my university. I was studying law in Ireland, and I came here. I was actually only 20 when I came to go to law school at DePaul for a year. And then I finished that year, went back to Ireland, graduated, and then moved back. So I've been here permanently since 2005.
2005.
So, yeah.
What lessons have you learned in that process that you apply in your job?
You know, as tough as things are at the moment, I know that America is better than the things that we're seeing. And I still believe in this country very much so. And I still believe in the dreams that every single client that comes through the door is fighting for. And I know that the majority of America believes that too. So I think, you know, people are nervous and anxious, but they can take comfort in the fact that there's like a whole army of immigration lawyers that are, you know, like beautiful pit bulls, not going to back down anytime soon. And we, you know, have respect for the rule of law. And I still believe in the American dream for the people that are coming here.
I think them more than anybody in the legal community, I think they realize what kind of constitutional crisis there is every single day now with the current administration. What exactly has been imperiled?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're on the front lines of it. And, you know, you're finding out with, you know, the Mueller report, which, you know, half of that got handed over to the Southern District in New York. You haven't heard the last of that. Believe me, you.
Yeah, right.
And then this clown, this William Barr, you know, redacting everything. And these are the kind of criminals that are in charge right now. So immigration lawyers are absolutely the first line of defense of all of our freedoms.
Excellent. Okay, that's it. We got to take a break. Thank you guys all for coming in. It was a wonderful segment.
Thanks for having us, Tony. Man.
Thanks, Tony.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Ira. Thanks, Yulia. Okay. Thanks, Fiona.
See you soon, Ira.
Okay.
We'll be back with our friends from Schurz High School after this on WGN.